There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Where's the lie? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. And today, we got some fun for you. You like fun. You like football. This is the show for you. And, of course, to help me have some fun, my good friends, Pat Fitzmaurice, of course, and D-Bro, Derek Brown, the King of Bros. We're going to play a little game, Two Truths, One Lie. And that's going to be a good time here for all of us, based on some of the NFL players that really have some important stock in 2022 and in 2023, and get the guys' takes on some of the places they might be going this coming season as well in terms of their productivity. And it's going to be a fun time. So when it comes to game shows, Pat Fitzmaurice, is there a specific game show that is your favorite or something that you look back fondly of? I know some kids, you know, back when we were younger, they'd stay home, they'd watch The Price is Right. That was always a big one. But what's the Pat Fitzmaurice game show of choice?
Yeah, those fond memories of pretending to be sick so you could stay home and watch daytime television all day. I got to go with the $20,000 pyramid, Joe.
Ah, the pyramid.
Like I always like the give and take, the exchange of clues, the trying to get someone on the right train of thought with these clues. So I'd have to go with that one. Plus, it was Dick Clark as the host, you know, classic game show host.
One of the clues not today is things found in Derek Brown's beard. I don't believe that's one of the things there. But Derek, you strike me as a press your luck kind of guy. You seem like the whammy kind of fella to me.
I mean, obviously The Price is Right is in the top three. That has to be said. But I think the other two that will make my top three for game shows is either The Most Extreme Challenge, I think it's what it's called. Basically,
that's many a drunken college night at 2 a.m. before they did the American version, watching that with my friends.
So good. Yes. That one is amazing, as well as I'm going to go with The Floor is Lava. Just pulling a new one because
The Floor is Lava.
I love to watch the fails, man. Like, I love to watch people go to, like, jump for something and be like, poop, and just eat it.
You're like living whammy. The Derek Brown whammy comes out with a backwards hat and a big beard and says, the range of outcomes says I just took all your money. I'm pretty sure that's what it sounds. All right, let's get into the game, and let's start with round one, which will be worth one single point. And, of course, this is a battle to the death, just so anybody knows. We don't want to make it too dramatic, but that's what it is. So I'm going to give you two truths and one lie. I'm going to make three statements. You tell me which one the lie is, and we'll see. Whatever you might think, we'll give you those points. So let's kick things off here with Patrick Mahomes. You might know him. He was indeed the number one QB again last season, if you can believe it, considering – you know, people were complaining about, oh, I'd have Tyreek Hill and the weapons have changed. Well, one thing that didn't change is Patrick Mahomes was still amazing. So let's talk about this. A truth or a lie. He threw 30 touchdown passes before throwing his 10th career interception. That is A about Patrick Mahomes. Is the lie B, had a passer rating of at least 105 in four of his five seasons as a starter? Or is the lie C, has thrown six or more touchdown passes in three different games? So I want to hear from you guys. You tell me which one of these three statements is the lie. Pat Fitzmaurice, is it the 30 touchdowns before throwing his 10th career pick? Is it the passer rating of 105 in his first four or five seasons, or throwing six more touchdown passes in three different games?
I think the passer rating thing is definitely true. So it's between the six touchdowns in three different games or the 30 touchdowns before 10 interceptions. Man, I can only specifically remember one Patrick Mahomes six touchdown game. So I'm going to say that is the lie.
All right. Derek Brown, you are nodding your head in agreement. Do you agree?
Yes.
That is the lie?
I think that's the lie. Like, I think he's got a few five touchdown passing games in his bag, but I'm going to say he does not have that many six touchdown games.
You are both correct. It is the lie. Mm-hmm. It only happened twice, actually. So it wasn't once. It was actually twice, weeks 2 and 11 in 2018. Derek Brown, when looking at Patrick Mahomes going into next season, now Juju's not there. We haven't hit the NFL draft quite yet, so you don't know what pieces they're going to add. But is that adage going to be the same, where we're going to be looking as a fantasy community to put somebody above Patrick Mahomes? Because, well, it's going to be different again, and Kelsey's another year older. Who are these new pieces? And is that the wrong thing to do? Should Mahomes be the QB1 going into next season anyway?
He's not going to be my QB1, but I think there's no way that I'm going to rank him outside the top three. You know, I mean, in that instance, Joe, I mean, I'm not going to fade Patrick Mahomes in that sense. Am I going to draft him as the first guy off the board? No, but I'm not going to fade him. I don't care who's catching passes from him. We could sit and re-sign Justin Watson and have him run the DeMarcus Robinson cardio routes, and he'll still be top three.
I love the cardio routes. I'm a big fan. Pat, why isn't he the one QB going into next year? I mean, coming off a year with 41 touchdowns, 12 picks, over 5,000 yards, the only guy last year to hit that mark. So, I mean, I understand he's not, you know, running for what Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields might, or Jalen Hurts, but at the same time, when we're coming down to putting up fantasy points, he was the number one again. So why isn't he the number one fantasy quarterback for a lot of boards going into 23?
It's a good question, Joe, and it is the lack of rushing upside. But I have thought about this and second-guessed my decision to put him behind Josh Allen. And I'm wondering, I may yet flip-flop those guys because I do think Mahomes is safer. And, you know, sometimes I worry a little bit about the guys who depend on the running ability. What happens if they go into games a little banged up and maybe are discouraged from running a little bit? Then that certainly caps their ceiling a little bit, because Mahomes doesn't need to be able to run. And we saw that last year in the playoffs when he was hurt and still getting it done. And, you know, it's funny, Joe, you mentioned the Juju Smith-Schuster departure and all this. And it's like, we always overvalue these guys because they're going to be playing in the Chiefs offense. Like the peripheral guys, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was grossly overdrafted his rookie year, Juju last year, like Mahomes was going to spark him. Like, just invest in Mahomes. Forget about all the other guys. Like, other than Kelsey, they all disappoint, it seems like. The big contract for MVS, you know, like,
other than Kelsey, who is the guy, right? Who leads the Chiefs in receiving next year, not named Travis Kelsey? Pat, give me a name. It could be somebody not on this roster. It could be somebody in the draft, whoever you think. Just let's have some fun here. Derek, you have a name?
I know D-Bro as a name for sure.
What's your name, D-Bro?
I'm Pat's surprised thinking. Pat hasn't tossed shade at Sky Moore yet. Like, I was waiting in that last soliloquy for Pat to be like, well, you know, we just invest in Patrick Mahomes and not Sky Moore. I'll go with Sky Moore. If it's not him, I'll go off the board and I'll say, let's have fun with this one. They trade for DeAndre Hopkins and he goes for 1,400 yards.
Ooh, that's a fun one. Pat, you got any fun ones like that in the crystal ball?
Rookie yet to be named.
Rookie receiver yet to be named. All right. We'll see how that goes. Before we get to the next question here on our list of two truths and one lie, I want to take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. We talk a lot here on the show about what makes winners and losers. And there's one thing that all teams, coaches, players have in common that win, and that's preparation. So planning is the key in everyday life too. And a great way to be prepared for the unexpected is to join Air Medcare Network, America's largest ambulance membership network. Air Medcare Network providers operate state-of-the-art helicopters that can respond to critically ill or injured patients who need emergency medical support. And these flights can be very expensive sometimes, but as an Air Medcare Network member, you won't see a bill for your flight when you're flown by one of their providers. And that's right, you pay nothing. So you can become a member of Air Medcare Network for just $99 per year. And right now, our listeners get up to $80 in a MasterCard or Amazon e-gift card when they join us and use the offer code Fantasy Pros. Again, that's one word, Fantasy Pros, with no spaces. So make financial peace of mind part of your game plan. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Fantasy Pros today. Again, use that promo code Fantasy Pros. All right, so let's talk about Derrick Henry here. Here are the three statements. Two are true. You tell me, where's the lie? So is it A, scored 20-plus touchdowns in three consecutive seasons? Again, 20-plus TDs in three consecutive seasons. Is it B, the truth, possibly a lie? I don't know. In 2020, he became the first player since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2007 to lead the league in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns in consecutive seasons. Or is it C, had once scored two 50-plus yard rushing touchdowns in the same game? One of these statements is a lie, Derrick Brown. Tell me, where's the lie? Is it the 20-plus total TDs in three consecutive seasons? Is it B, the first player since LT to lead the league in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns back-to-back? Or is it C, had scored once two 50-plus yard rushing touchdowns in the same game? Where's the lie?
Well, I know it's not the last one because the Jaguars firmly believe that that is true.
That is correct.
I'm going to go with number one. Like, Henry has scored a lot of touchdowns in certain seasons, but I don't know if he's ever hit 20. Yeah, I'm going to go with the first one.
All right. He's going with A. Pat Fitzmaurice, do you agree, disagree, A, B, or C?
I know Henry has never run for 20 touchdowns, and we know he has not racked up a lot of touchdown receptions. So, yeah, I got to go. If he's had a 20 touchdown season, I don't think he's had more than one. So I'm going to agree with Deber on this one. Hate to be in lockstep here, but got to go.
You are correct. Gentlemen, once again, 1 point each for you. You're both right. That is the lie. So he hasn't done that. Pat Fitzmaurice, the Titans are going through kind of an identity crisis right now. What do you think the draft value going into 2023 will be of Derrick Henry, and will he return it?
Concerned, I think he's going to be a second rounder in most drafts this year, probably a running back, I don't know, what, 9 or 10. And I know there are going to be two schools. Like, how can you disbelieve Derrick Henry school and the I don't want to catch a falling knife school? And I tend to be in the latter, especially the way the Titans offensive line has sort of gone to seed over the last year or so. So I don't really want to be the guy holding Derrick Henry when these years of pounding add up. And I just worry, like, if he loses a little bit of speed with his game, like if he starts to lose that step as he gets closer and closer to his 30s. Is he 30? I don't think he's 30 yet, but he's getting there.
He's 29.
Yeah. So I'm a little concerned about what happens if he loses that step. And, you know, just the fact that his offensive line is no longer one of the better O-lines in the league, I have concerns. So I do not think he's going to return value on his ADP this year.
Last year, coming off 1,500 yards, D-Bro, 13 rushing touchdowns, and he also had 41 receptions for 398 yards. Do you think that Derrick Henry has one more good year in the sun left in him?
I think he has one more year as an RB1. Now, the question, and you posed it to Pat, was, am I going to draft him? I still lean with the wide receivers there. Like, it's fine. Like, if I get bitten by the Derrick Henry bug again, I mean, whatever. It's fine. I don't want to be left holding the bag. I do not want to be left holding the bag. And Joe, I don't know if we've been doing too many shows together, but I mean, this year, firmly, like, unless ADP changes a whole lot from what we're seeing from early best ball drafts, wide receivers are going to be eaten up so early in drafts, and I'm here for it.
Well, if only somebody was a year or two ahead of that. Oh, wait, we were. Let's go to the next one here. Round three, also worth 1 point. These first few rounds are going to be worth 1 point. Then we're going to continue to press on. All right, here we go. This question is about DeAndre Hopkins, who may be on the move fairly shortly. We shall see. You tell me, where's the lie? Is it A, he recorded over 1,600 receiving yards in a single season? Is it B, in 2015, he became the first player in NFL history to record 100-yard receiving games with four different starting quarterbacks in one single season? Or is it C, he recorded 115-plus receptions in not one, but two different seasons? So is it A, 1,600 yards in a single year? B, First player to have a 100-yard receiving game with four different QBs in one season? Or is it C, recording 115-plus receptions in two different seasons? Pat Fitzmaurice, where's the lie, A, B, or C?
Just trying to catalog the different quarterbacks for the Texans in 2015.
We could be here a while. I don't know if the show's that long.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to go with that one. I can't imagine he did it with four different guys in one year.
That's quite a tall order there. So he is saying B is the lie. Derek Brown, is B the lie? Is A the lie or C the lie?
I think it's the quarterback one because I'm trying to rummage through all the names up from that season. I want to say there's like two or three. I don't know if it went to four, though, so I'm going to go with that one.
All right. So you guys both said that the lie is in 2015. He became the first player in NFL history to record a 100-yard receiving yard game with four different starting quarterbacks. And that, my friends, is a truth. Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer, TJ Yates, and Brandon Whedon. How about them apples?
Oh, my God.
Shout out to John, our producer, for putting all these together and doing the hard research.
I wouldn't have gotten Mallett.
I didn't remember him either. I knew the Hoyer one, and I knew Whedon. I knew those two. And somewhere like Brock Osweiler like jumped in my head, and I was like, okay, maybe it's heard. And because Brock Lobster is terrible.
Points for you. No soup for you in this round. The lie, by the way, was he recorded over 1,600 receiving yards in a single season. He's never had over 1,600 receiving yards in a season. So there you go. He's had a couple 15 spots in there. So Derek Brown, where is the landing spot for DeAndre Hopkins? Fill in the blank. DeAndre Hopkins is playing for blank in 2023.
Oof, that's a good call. You know what? I'll go fun with this one again. Let's just say that the Dallas Cowboys make a mega offense and they trade for Hopkins as well.
Ooh, that sounds sexy. Pat Fitzmaurice, you want to buy in on that or you got a different landing spot for Hopkins?
Oh man.
Because apparently the Patriots are not in on him, or so they say. Not that I believe anybody ever.
I wonder if the Green Bay Packers might do something. I mean, they desperately need some pass catching help right now. They've got, you know, basically Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, and that's it. So, but
wouldn't
I don't
just be
know
great if that, like, as soon as Rodgers leaves, they actually trade for a while,
right? I mean, it just seems like
wouldn't that be wonderful?
It seems like something that could happen. Like,
wow,
finally,
talk about
investing.
The ultimate don't let the door hit you on the way out move. Wow,
balloon, baby,
love that. All right, let's get to round four, see if you guys can bounce back. You guys started off great, and then you guys kind of both went in the tank on that last question. Mm-hmm. This one's about Travis Kelce. By the way, fantastic job hosting SNL if you missed it. Travis Kelce, especially the Travis Kelce sketch in the American Girl doll store. If you missed that, absolutely hysterical.
It was wonderful.
So funny.
That was
so wonderful. Him taking
hands
the
above
cafe.
The table, please.
Hands above the table at all times. So funny. And the wig he was wearing in that. Oh my God. Amazing. All right. So tell me, where's the lie, gentlemen, about Travis Kelce? Is it A, that he led all tight ends in receiving yards during his rookie season? Is it B, he set a record for tight ends with seven consecutive seasons of 1,000-plus receiving yards? Or is it C, scored a touchdown in three consecutive games twice in 2022. So again, real quick, is it A, led all tight ends in receiving yards in his rookie year? Is it B, set a record for tight ends with seven consecutive seasons of 1,000-plus receiving yards? Or is it C, scored a touchdown in three consecutive games twice in 2022? Pat Fitzmaurice, where's the lie?
Without elaborating just yet, I'm going to say that A is the lie about his rookie year.
A is the lie. Derek Brown, are you going to turn your key here with Pat Fitzmaurice, or are you going to go off the grid?
I was hoping Pat was going to sit here and pick another one, because I think A is the absolute lock to be the lie.
They say it's A. They are correct, these two. They are very smart. He wasn't targeted in his rookie season, by the way, in 2013.
He was hurt all year. Yep.
That's right. So there you go. So fun one there. So look, Travis Kelce, obviously, an enormous advantage in terms of relative position value. He was nearly 88% better and more productive than the average tight end one. That means the top 12 guys, just to put in perspective, relative position value wise, plus 88% better than the average tight end one, not tight ends, not the entire list of 32. No, just the 12. So that puts him at an enormous draft capital potential. Pat Fitzmaurice, I've been saying that if you're going to draft Kelce, do it early, because I think then you have a better chance of being able to back it up. The earlier you get Kelce, the better off you are. Are you somebody going into 23 that is going to look at Kelce as a top 5 overall player because of the advantage he brings to the position?
I probably should be, and I am a more I'm much more amenable to considering him with a first round draft pick than I used to be. I mean, I still kind of hate the way my team build looks like if I take Travis Kelce like in the first round of a best ball draft, but I can't go top five. I just can't, especially with, you know, maybe the age risk is ratchet. Even though Kelce, I say that about age risk, and this guy's been completely indestructible ever since that rookie year. Kind of ironic that that was like his one injury washout year. And now he's like this guy in his early 30s who just like never misses a game, you know, never fails to return on investments. So I probably should consider him with the top five pick, but that's just a little too rich for me. I think I'd start considering him around 108, 109.
D-Bro, Travis Kelce last year averaged 15.4 half PPR points per game. The next highest was 11.4. So pretty big gap there. And that was George Kittle, who historically does miss a lot of games. Incredible season for Kelce. 1,300 yards. He had 110 receptions. Pat brings up the age, which is a good point. But I mean, at a certain point, do we have to see a little bit of that decline before we start building that narrative?
Yeah, for me, I've got to see a decline. And none of Kelce's metrics showed any kind of decline. I am firmly willing to take him with a top five pick. Hell, I can even craft you a really good case for him to be a top three pick. Like, give me Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, and then I'm all in for Travis Kelce at the 103. I think it's perfectly fine. If you look at his production over the last few years, the guy's been producing as a wide receiver one or an RB one in fantasy if you look at across the platforms of points per game scoring. So, yeah, still tied to an elite quarterback, no fall off. And he's a tight end, not a wide receiver. Let's go.
All right. Let's go on to our fifth question here. So far, you're tied each at three. You both missed one question. So on to Aaron Jones, one of your favorites here, Pat Fitzmaurice. So the truths and the lie, let's try to find where the lie is. Is it A about Aaron Jones? He had multiple 75 plus yard touchdown runs, in 2020. Is it B, he has never had more than 50 receptions in a single season? Or is it C, he had a game with four touchdowns in both the 2019 and 2021 seasons? So just to run through them one more time real quick, is the lie A, he had multiple 75-yard touchdown runs in the 2020 season? Is it B, he's never had more than 50 receptions in a season? Or is it C, had a game with four touchdowns in both 2019 and 2021? Derek Brown, why don't you answer this one first? Where's the lie?
The four touchdowns is real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say you. So this it's 275 yard runs last year
in the 2020 season.
Oh,
so 2 years ago, as he had two monstrous ones. You've narrowed it down for yourself. I'm not saying you're right. I'm just saying the only other thing left is,
darn it,
has he ever had 50 receptions, or did he have two 75 yard touchdown runs in 2020? TikTok.
It's the 2021. Because I want to say Aaron Jones has gotten.
So you're saying A is 15. The lie. Pat Fitzmaurice, leader of Packer Nation. Where's the lie?
You know, it's
the
funny.
The nation, Joe, like, turns its lonely eyes to you.
I spend so much time looking at, you know, our player profile pages on Fantasy Pros and like Pro Football Reference, and like it occurs to me, I don't know if Aaron Jones has ever had a 50 reception season or not. Like, I know he's been very close to it. I'm going to say it's B. I don't know if he's ever had 50.
Okay. Cuckoo, ka-choo. Let me tell you, you did it, Pat Fitzmaurice. That is the lie. It is B. Wow. It is not A. So Pat takes a 4-3 lead over D-Bro heading into the double digit question. So that is correct. He did have a 75 yard touchdown run in 2020. In weeks 2 and week 13. Last year, we were already kind of pushing the A.J. Dillon envelope, you and I, Pat. It did not quite happen the way we anticipated. It looked really good in week 1. Unfortunately, the rest is history, as they say. But Aaron Jones is coming back for more. It's going to be a different team, obviously, if Aaron Rodgers at some point decides he's not playing or playing somewhere else. So what does that mean for the backfield for the Packers going into 23?
I mean, I still think Jones is the much more dependable asset than Dillon, or, you know, maybe I didn't think that necessarily last year, but I do for this year. And I guess I'm going to be, those guys are going to be gentle fades for me, I would say, this year. Less about them than about my lack of faith in Jordan Love and what the offense is going to be without him. I just think they're going to score fewer points and have fewer long sustained drives than they had with Rodgers. Even though Rodgers didn't have a great season last year, I think there's still going to be a considerable drop off with Jordan Love.
We have two of our philosophies going against each other here, D-Bro. We have the philosophy of volume is king versus invest in good ecosystems in the NFL. So how do you figure out between those two what you want to do with Green Bay?
I think it's going to come down to where his ADP and my team builds. Like, I'm willing to invest in Aaron Jones because his efficiency metrics did not drop off, and A.J. Dillon's efficiency metrics were terrible last year. But it's going to come down to where his ADP settles. I think, like, blanket statement, I'm probably going to be more out than in.
Like, right okay. Now, his ADP is what, like RB14 or RB15, high-end RB2?
Yeah, and that's not bad if he stays
around. I think high-end RB2 sounds about right. So, D-Bro, yeah, like his belly button, a little bit more out than in when it comes to Aaron Jones. Let's move to part two here, round six. Now, these are going to be worth 2 points, so somebody could possibly pull away. Before we pull away, as we continue our conversation, don't forget the conversation's always going on our Discord. Again, fantasybros.com/chat. Free to join. Go check it out. If you want to join leagues, we've got channels for that. We've got DFS channels. We've got access to us and stages and all these fun events we're doing. In fact, we're going to be doing some NFL draft stuff too on night two on our Discord. So you're going to be want a part of that. It's going to be amazing. Again, fantasybros.com/chat. And if you are a premium subscriber to Fantasy Bros, you get access to more channels and more of us. Maybe not access to Derek Brown's belly button, but that's probably a good thing. So let's stay away from that. All right, everyone, let's get to the next player on our list. It's Stephon Diggs, wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to give you three statements. You tell me where the lie is. Is it A, Stephon Diggs had 7 games with 100-plus receiving yards in 2 of the last 3 seasons? Is it B, Stephon Diggs has never scored a 2-point conversion? Or is it C, Stephon Diggs had at least 6 targets in 11 of his first 12 games in 2022? Just to recap, is it A, 7 games with 100-plus receiving yards in 2 of the last 3 seasons, Stephon Diggs has never scored a 2-point conversion? Or is the lie, had at least 6 targets in 11 of his first 12 games in 2022? So let's talk about it, gentlemen. I give you those listed options here. Where is the lie?
Dang it, Joe. This one's rough, man. Crap. I'm going to go A.
Going A, had 7 games with 100-plus receiving yards last 2 of the 3 seasons. That's a lot. He's put up some big numbers. So let's see if he's at that. Pat, what do you think here about this one as well? Is it A, B, or C? Where's the lie?
I have to stay with D-Bro on this one. I think he had it last year, but I don't know about 2 of the last 3.
Okay, so here we go. The correct answer is not A. He had it in 2020 and in 2022. The correct answer, the lie, is actually B. Stephon Diggs did actually have a 2-point conversion, believe it or not. So there you have it. So Stephon Diggs, no points awarded for this round. But let's talk about Stephon Diggs for a moment, gentlemen, real quick. Do we want a compliment here in Buffalo to help Stephon Diggs out, Pat? Would that actually be a good thing for his fantasy value going into 2023?
I'd prefer not. I'd prefer status quo. Last year was a really good setup, and did he start his season like gangbusters. I mean, you could make a case that through the first 7 weeks or so, he was the fantasy MVP, just so consistently giving you 100 yards and a touchdown week in, week out. Fell off a little bit down the stretch. As you know, my fellow Stephon Diggs investors will attest, he wasn't quite as effective late in the year, but still, I think the setup's pretty good. Like, I think Gabe Davis does enough as a lid lifter to sort of take defensive pressure off Steph. I don't think I would want to see a high volume rookie like Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Jordan Addison or Quentin Johnston coming in and stealing some of the thunder.
Well, let's say one of those guys does show up into town, D-Bro. Does that knock Stephon Diggs out of that top 5 conversation for you?
It doesn't. I actually kind of want Buffalo to draft somebody in the sense of I think their offense is going to be more efficient. I think they're going to extend more drives. And I fully believe, and I'm not saying that Pat does not, but I fully believe that targets are earned and Diggs will continue to earn them at an extremely high rate.
I think it would knock him out of top five for me. I'd put CeeDee Lamb in there now with AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. Adams, and Jefferson with Chase too. I think it would knock him out of the top five, me personally. He's still hovering, still in that conversation, but those are those names right now. I think all those guys I would take ahead of him, especially if somebody else came in to the picture. We'll see. Could be a lot of draft day trades going on as well. Let's get to round seven, shall we? Again, this question is worth 2 points. We'll see if the guys can make up for lost time there. Alvin Kamara is the subject. Don't worry, we're going to keep this just football related. So here we go. Tell me, where's the lie? Is it A, he's recorded at least 80 receptions in each of his first four seasons? Is it B, he's had two games with 130 plus rushing yards and three rushing touchdowns? Or is it C, he's recorded 20 plus total touchdowns in two different seasons? So once again, is it A, the lie, he's recorded 80 receptions in each of his first four NFL seasons? Is it B, he's had two games with 130 plus rushing yards and three touchdowns? Or is it C, he's recorded 20 total touchdowns in two different seasons? I believe we're to you, Derek Brown.
I'm going to go with C. I think his touchdown equity has been good, but I don't think it's been that high. I mean, his touchdown equity was terrible last year, but before then, I don't think it was that high. So I'm going to go
all
C.
Right, so Mr. New Orleans himself thinks the lie is C. Pat Fitzmaurice, do you agree or disagree?
Let's see. It's definitely not A, because he famously had 81 receptions mm-hmm. in each of his first three seasons, and then I believe 84 in year four. So it's not A. I am going to piggyback my buddy D-Bro here and say it's C. I maybe he's had one 20 touchdown season. I don't think he's had two.
All right. The correct answer is indeed C. That's right. That is the lie. The lie is C. He's recorded 20 plus total touchdowns in two different years, only once in 2020 with 21 touchdowns. So, Mr. Saint, let's go to you here. By the way, Pat Fitzmaurice now leading 5-4 here in this contest. So let's talk about this here. Derek Brown, Alvin Kamara, I know we don't have a lot of clarity yet, but we also know a lot about running backs. When they're in the league 5 years and we start to see this, something we talked about in Zeke, we see a little bit of decline in their game anyway. With everything that's changed so much for the New Orleans Saints, new quarterback, new situation there, what are your expectations for Kamara, especially with this lingering potential offseason stuff still going on, the potential of him being suspended and missing time? How do you value Kamara, not just in best ball, but even in 2023 redraft?
I'm not taking the swing on Kamara unless he drops past his ADP. Where that settles, I've taken him a few early best ball drafts, and I'm still going to be willing to press that button and redraft depending on the length of the suspension. But where we sit right now, I'll take the swing, but it depends on where he goes. Anything higher than like a low end RB2, I'm probably out, just because I wrote this up all last year during the primer. His efficiency metrics in the passing game were good, but in early downs, it was bad. Like, he was not breaking tackles. You saw that fall off be huge. And Jamal Williams is going to have a standalone role regardless every single week.
All right. Pat, when you're looking at the value of Alvin Kamara going into 2023, is it something that you're willing to even risk? Or are there too many guys potentially with too much upside that you want to take ahead of Kamara?
I'll certainly bake in suspension possibilities, but as far as the usage, I guess what sort of has been alarming to me the last couple of years is the way they've used him. And in the Sean Payton years, it was under 200 carries a year for Kamara, but they were giving him enough targets to get him over 80 receptions a year for those first 4 years, just like we talked about. I want to see more of that. Like, they've been using him too conventionally, using him, giving him over 250 carries a year. As D-Bro said, the efficiency hasn't really been there. I'm at least encouraged that with Derek Carr there, when I was kind of looking into the Carr signing, surprised at how well the Raiders have ranked as far as percentage of team targets to running backs during the Carr era, frequently in the top 10. So I think that's somewhat encouraging for Kamara holding his value when he's playing.
All right, let's move on to the next round here, also worth 2 points. This topic is Justin Jefferson. He's pretty good last time I checked. You tell me, where's the lie about him, though? Is it A, he had 10 games with 100-plus receiving yards in 2022? Is it B, he had more than 90 receptions in each of his three seasons here? Or is it C, is one of only three wide receivers to accrue 1,400 receiving yards in their rookie season? Which of these is the lie? I'll run down them one more time for you. Is it A, he had 10 games with 100-plus receiving yards in 2022? Is it B, he had more than 90 receptions in each of his first three seasons? Or is it C, is one of only three wide receivers to accrue 1,400 receiving yards in their rookie year? Which one is the lie, Pat Fitzmaurice?
Man, I think A is truth for sure. I'm
all right.
I'm going to go with B. I don't think he's hit 90 every year.
All right. So B is the lie, according to Pat Fitzmaurice. Derek Brown, do you agree or disagree? Where do you think the lie is, A, B, or C?
I think it's B. I'm going to hold hands with Pat here. I want to say that he got into the 80 reception range, but I don't think he crested 90 in his rookie season.
You are correct. That is the lie. He had did not have 90 receptions, 88 in his rookie season. So close. So close. Justin Jefferson has put on an incredible show these first few years of his career. Pat Fitzmaurice, we did notice towards the end, though, some of these defenses really just committing to taking him away. Now, they did move on from Adam Thielen. We do have opportunity here where perhaps they could draft somebody else and another big dog wide receiver. In fact, in our last mock draft show, we did just that. And it looked like a hell of a, I think it was Zay Flowers we gave him. Zay Flowers, Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne. Do they need to go draft another wide receiver in order for Justin Jefferson to maintain the pace that he's been on here to open his career?
I think so. They need help for him. And, you know, preferably someone fast like Zay Flowers. I think that would be the perfect complement for him. So I think getting another competent receiver in there would be good, because I like KJ Osborne, but I think he's kind of stretched as a wide receiver too. I think he's better off as a wide receiver three, very good in that role. But I think like being a two might be a little much to ask of him.
Derek Brown, I'm sure that, you know, it was a brilliant year for Justin Jefferson. The championship week certainly left a bad taste in people's mouths, obviously. But you're just going down to the well again with me, where Justin Jefferson is the 1-1 overall player. Are you going to hold hands with me this time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah. I'm totally here for that.
Good. I'm glad. That makes me happy. Yep. If it's not him, who is the number one wide receiver, D-Bro, next year? Is it Jamar?
Jamar Chase. Yeah, it's Chase. If it's not Jefferson, it's Chase, because Chase has the same type of Jefferson type of ceiling where he could get a 30% target share and end up with like 1,800 receiving yards, something ridiculous like Calvin Johnson-esque. I still don't think we've seen the absolute ceiling for either one of these receivers.
All right, we've got two questions left. We'll see the ceiling for you guys. Derek Brown, you trail by one single point. These are worth three now, these last two. So round nine is about Austin Eckler, everybody's favorite running back who likes to talk about fantasy football. Tell me where the lie about Austin Eckler is, gentlemen. Is it A, he has 900-plus rushing yards and 500-plus receiving yards in each of the last two seasons? Is it B, Austin Eckler has had 150-plus receiving yards in a single game? Or is it C, he has had at least five games with 10-plus receptions in his career? All right, let me run through these again. Are we ready for this? Okay. Is it A, he has had 900-plus rushing yards and 500-plus receiving yards in each of his last two seasons? Is it B, he has had 150-plus receiving yards in a single game? Or is it C, has had at least five games with 10-plus receptions in his career?
Is D'Amico?
Where is the lie? I believe let's have you go first, because I believe you were holding hands with Pat on the last one with Jefferson.
Yeah. I'm going to go with A. I think Eckler's gotten, I know that, I don't think that he's gotten above 900 back-to-back years. I want to say one of those years he's in the 800. It might be both of those years he's been in the 800 rushing yard range.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
Perhaps that is the lie. Pat Fitzmaurice, I see you thinking very astutely here. What's the lie? Is it A, B, or C?
Yeah, it's between A and B. I'm going to go with B. I don't know if he's ever, like, I can't remember a really monster game where he's eclipsed 150.
It's a lot. One of you is correct. And the one of you that is correct is wearing a hat. Oh, wait, you're both wearing a hat. The one that's wearing the hat forward is correct. It's Pat Fitzmaurice. Oh, there you go. B is indeed the lie. So two more points for Pat. Actually, three. What am I saying? 3 points for Pat Fitzmaurice here. Oh, my goodness. You kind of put it away here right now. You are up 9-6 here. So actually, Derek Brown, you can tie and save grace and go to overtime, which is four lies about me, which, again, we can play that. Which I would have to make up on the fly.
Can we just jump to the bonus round then?
I mean, I kind of want to do that now. I kind of want to do that. All right. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Austin Eckler here because just to be clear, he had 150 plus receiving yards in a single game. The career high was 118 actually from week 7. So he did have back-to-back years of 900 plus rushing yards and 500 plus receiving yards. He did have actually had 7 games, not 5, with 10 plus receptions. So Derek Brown, Eckler wants out right now. Do you think he gets out? And if he does, what does that investment look like? Because somebody would have to use him in the same way for him to maintain this same kind of value.
I don't think he gets out. I'll throw that out there. I don't think the Chargers are going to let him walk. I don't know if they're going to give him a new contract either. I can't see him holding out. Like, I think that he's going to play through this. If he gets something of an extension, maybe we're looking at like a 2-year deal that's really front loaded, like it's a more like a 1-year deal, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
All right, Pat Fitzmaurice, what do you think about Austin Eckler's value going into the next year? He is the number 2 running back right now in the consensus on half PPR. Do you think he can continue this pace? Because I think a lot of people are skeptical he could do it once, and he's done it twice now. So how many times are people going to go down to this well where they feel safe with Austin Eckler and this massive production? But he has had some injury issues here and there in the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, I mean, he does keep himself in amazing physical condition, so I think he's probably going to age better than some guys. He also doesn't seem to take a lot of like real direct, nasty shots. So I'm cautiously optimistic that he'll age pretty well as he gets into his late 20s here. But I think he'll do pretty well at maintaining his value if he stays where he is. I don't want to see him go somewhere else because I don't know if, like, he's getting that early career Alvin Kamara usage where they're using him judiciously in the running game, but they're using him like crazy in the passing game. And that's what we want to see with Austin Eckler. So I don't know if he's, for me, I think he's like number 3 or number 4 on my running back board, but like still clearly a first round value. And, you know, immensely valuable, especially in PPR.
Actually, my math, I'm just looking at it right now. It is 10 already. So, Pat, you've locked it up. We could still do the bonus round for fun, but let's just run through this last football player first. So congratulations, Pat. You can smell the lie. And, you know, as an older parent, you know, you've had teenagers to deal with. Derek and I are just getting to that stage of our lives. So he can really smell the lie. That's something that, you know, as you get to have multiple teenagers in your house, you get to understand these things. Let's go to round 10. Also worth 3 points here. So this one's about DK Metcalf. Tell me, gentlemen, where is the lie? Is it A, he set a rookie record for receiving yards in a single playoff game with 160? Is it B, he had 3 games with at least 10 targets in each of his last 3 seasons? Or is it C, he led all rookies in receiving yards during his rookie season in 2019? So was it A, the rookie record for a playoff game, 160? Was it B, 3 games with at least 10 targets in each of his last 3 seasons? Or was it C, led all rookie wideouts in receiving yards during his rookie campaign of 2019? Pat, where's the lie, just for good measure?
C is the lie.
Look at you. You're smelling it. You're so confident. Wow. Derek Brown, are you that confident too? You want to agree with Pat or just have some fun and go different?
He's got so much confidence behind it. I mean, I actually was really headstrong for B because Metcalf has not had the same type of volume ceiling as Tyler Lockett. Screw it. I lost anyway. Let's go B.
Well, you really got buried there because it was indeed Pat was correct. The confidence just knows no bounds there for Pat Fitzmaurice. So Pat Fitzmaurice, that's another 3 points for you, Pat. That puts you at 13 to Derek Brown 6. So good effort there.
Yeah, Lee, just
can I tell you why I knew that C was the lie? I knew Scary Terry had more yards than DK Metcalf in 2019.
All right, if you really want to answer, not only was Scary Terry, who was the other guy that was ahead? There were two.
Oh, there were two
that were ahead of him. Mm-hmm.
In his rookie season?
Oh, A.J. Brown. He wasn't even the biggest Ole Miss
scanner. Pat Fitzmaurice. My goodness. You just take us to school. You're the principal and the superintendent. That was really something. Hey, tell me this, Pat. For all of these accolades that DK Metcalf's had, Geno Smith had a really good season last year. He's still the 14th wide receiver in half PPR. Do you think that's too low for DK Metcalf?
A little too low. I still feel like we haven't seen his best season yet. You know, like he's never going to be that super refined route runner, but man, this guy's just such a beast at the catch point. Such crazy athleticism. Like I feel like there's bigger and better things still coming from him.
There you go. The touchdown total was low last year, 6, but I mean, if we bump that up to 8 or 9, are we having a different conversation here, D-Bro, about DK Metcalf?
I think we are. I mean, Joe, you and I talked about this religiously every single week on the DFS show. I think the biggest problem for Metcalf is that he's basically their number one weapon versus man coverage. And as much zone as we see in the NFL, he's just not as good versus that. Now, can he improve in that? Sure. But I mean, I'm with consensus here. I actually have him lower than that. In my early ranks right now, I've got him as wide receiver 20.
Wow. Interesting stuff. So you've got him lower than consensus. This was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do the bonus question because I made it up on the fly here while we were going just in case we needed it before. Sure. It turned out it wasn't good at math, which is how I ended up here in the first place. So which one of these three Italian actors have I not met in person? You ready for this? This is going to be fun. So where's the lie? Joe Pizzapia has A, met and had a conversation with Joe Pesci. Joe Pizzapia has B, met and had a conversation with Al Pacino. Joe Pizzapia has C, met and had a conversation with Robert De Niro. Pat Fitzmaurice, since you are our champion, you get to answer this first. Where's the lie? Which one of these three all-time great Italian actors of many a great Godfather and Goodfellas film have I not met?
I'm going to say you have not met Al Pacino.
Okay, he says, I have not met Al Pacino. Derek Brown, how about you?
I know for a fact you've met Joe Pesci.
Yes, because you've heard that story, which is a very funny story.
We have exchanged that story over drink. Okay? It might have been, but
I've opened up Joe Pesci's trunk, okay. So that is true. And that was the scariest moment.
Was there a body inside, Joe?
I was carrying his golf clubs, and he asked me, he said, will you put him in the trunk for me? And here's the key. And I went, oh my God, I'm opening Joe Pesci's trunk. And he's standing behind me. I'm terrified. I may or may not have wet my
pants. I thought you were going to see Billy Bats. Billy Bats.
Let me tell you. Go get your shine backs, Pappas Morrison.
So I know it's the Pesci is out of this, but man, I'm going to go with De Niro. I don't think you've met De Niro.
Here's the thing. One of these two I've actually met twice. And the one I've met twice is Al Pacino. That's right. Wow. There you go. Derek Brown. It's not worth anything except my respect.
Can we just redo this have a Joe quiz? Can we do that? Joe talks about himself in the third person for the entire show. Can we have that?
If you would like the Joe 2 Truths 1 Lie show, we will do it here at Fantasy Pros. That'll be a good time. We could do, you know what? We give it do old takes of mine, which was the truth, which was the lie. That could be fun. I'm game for stupid things like that. I have a good sense of humor about myself. If I didn't, I would not last very long in this job, but Derek Brown is correct. So there you go. That was a fun one we threw in at the end. But regardless, even though you have my respect, Derek Brown, Pat Fitzmaurice is the grand champion again. When you have teenagers in the house, you know where the lying is. It's just part of the thing. So, Pat, what are you going to do with these fabulous prizes you're going to win here? I think we've got a gift certificate to Chili's and a sponsorship Air Medcare Network for 1 year for you guys. So what do you want? Nice. What do you want to do about that?
Yeah, I'm probably going to need the Air Medcare Network because my teenagers are
the margaritas at Chili's.
Yeah, and the margaritas at Chili's, exactly. You know, my teenagers are going to give me a heart attack, so I'll need that flight to a nearby hospital. Yeah, I'm just going to try to savor the victory.
Derek Brown, don't worry,
we got the best of D-Bro.
No, you did it. And D-Bro, your consolation prize for finishing second out of two people is you have a year supply of beard creams that I mean, that's a win right there.
Now I feel like I'm in first place. Now I should have if you'd have told me that at the beginning, I would have thrown it on purpose. Yes, but
they all smell. The scent is Bill Belichick's hoodie. So ooh, that's the only problem.
People get Rice-A-Roni too. Year supply of Rice-A-Roni.
Yeah, it's in a year supply of Rice-A-Roni. We'll throw that in there too. So it's like four boxes.
All right. I know is after this, I am never playing BS with Pat on team trips. No, I know that now. Do. Or poker for that matter.
No, don't play poker with Pat either. All right. Don't forget, everybody, visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Right now, again, the promo code is Fantasy Pros to use. That we can get your Air Medcare Network membership and become a member today. And don't forget, join our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat, where the conversation never ends and it's free to join. So go check out Discord. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on for Pat and D-Bro. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.